Good morning. Just an announcement, invitation to a special presentation this evening at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall. Dr. Joshua Mears, a Bethany graduate, will be giving a talk entitled The Dropout Generation. And it deals with the study of college-age youth and those into their mid-20s, why so many of them have begun dropping away from churches and denominations. So I think you'll find it very interesting tonight at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall, Dr. Joshua Mears. We begin our worship with the opening hymn.
Our scripture reading for this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we pray that you would keep your word this morning to accompany your word. And we pray that you would do that by the power of your Holy Spirit so that he may work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. When my brother and I were growing up, and when we were young, he was, by the way, and still is a year older than me. But there were times when we were tortured by my mother. Inadvertently, of course. But I remember those times as if they were yesterday. They were so horrifying to me. And they always proceeded in the same way. We would pile in the car to go to the store. And upon parking the car, my mother would say these fateful words, you guys stay here. I'll only be a minute. And I cannot recall ever seeing my mother stay a mere minute in a store. 45 minutes, yes. A week, maybe. But never 1 minute. Clearly, my mother's sense of the passage of time and my little hyperactive 6-year-old sense of the passage of time differed greatly, didn't they? When Scripture mentions that the second coming of our Lord is at hand, some people would assume that since 2,000 years or so have passed since his first coming, and he still hasn't returned, why, he's never coming back. The Scripture is just wrong. That's what a lot of people assume. But those people are mistaken. They're like the little 6-year-old who thinks that his mom's timetable and her way of accounting time should be the same as his way of accounting time. Jesus will return. He has promised to do that. And his return is near by God's reckoning. And by our reckoning, it is 2,000 years nearer, give or take a few years, than it was when Peter wrote these words. The end of all things is at hand, he said. Now then, if that is true, that the coming of Jesus is near by God's reckoning, and if it is 2,000 years nearer by our own reckoning, then that should call forth a certain mindset in you and me, in God's people, and certain behaviors from us. Be serious. There's the mindset. That's what Peter says. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Another translation says, be sober. When I think of being sober-minded, I think of the time that my son and I went down to the city of Gulfport, Mississippi, to help out after the Hurricane Katrina had passed through. And we began to see the damage about 40 miles outside the city, and it got worse and worse as we approached. And when we got there, we stayed in a church that had minimal damage. And we stayed with a bunch of other people who were staying there and helping out, helping to clean up after that hurricane. And the mood was sober among the people staying in that church. It was sober because people had come face to face with this awesome and powerful storm, this force that was more awesome than they could conceive. And there was just nothing to say that would be considered funny or lighthearted. That's what I think of when I think of Jesus' return. On the horizon, swiftly approaching, is something so awesome and so powerful that there is no way to think of it and think of it lightheartedly. Be sober, Peter says. And there's a balance, really, isn't there, in the Christian? A balance between being sober and being lighthearted. Sober when we think of the multitudes who will face the judgment of God. Lighthearted when we realize he's coming for me to take me home. To take me out of this body of death, St. Paul says, to rescue us. So there's a balance, really, for the Christian, isn't there, between being sober and being lighthearted. Secondly, Peter says, be watchful. We heard that yesterday in our passage about being watchful, about seeing certain signs, the roaring of the sea and the foaming of the sea and men's hearts failing them for fear before Jesus comes again. And I get the impression from the Bible that when Jesus says, be watchful, he really means it. Don't you get that? He says it so often. St. Paul says it. Peter says it. John says it. And Jesus, of course, says it. I think he really means it, that we're to be watchful for his return. You know, some days I just forget. I don't even think about the fact that the Lord may be returning. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and said, "Today, Lord, could it be today?" Blessed, Jesus says, are those servants whom the Master, when he comes, will find watching. Why watch? Certainly the Lord doesn't need us to watch. He's not coming as if he's coming to an airport and he needs somebody to pick him up. He doesn't need us to watch. He will come when the time is right, whether we're watching or not. But you see, the watching is a blessing for you and me, because it helps us to keep focused on what is important and upon whom is important. Let me ask a question, or maybe two or three. The last time that you snapped at your roommate or your spouse or your best friend or your brother or sister or somebody, did that happen at a moment when you were thinking of Christ returning, or did that happen at a moment when you were thinking of something else? When you are impatient in traffic, I mentioned that one because that's something I am a lot. Impatient in traffic, is that more likely to happen when I'm thinking of Christ returning or when I'm thinking of something else? When I'm tempted to cheat or steal or lust or be lazy, am I more likely to give in to that temptation when I'm thinking of my Lord Jesus returning, or when I'm thinking of something else? You see, Jesus knows how weak we are, and so he tells us to wait and watch for him because it is for our benefit. And it's time to quit, but before I do, I want to say one more thing, and I'll only take a minute. I want to say one thing. I want to mention what it is you're waiting for, because you are waiting for something so wonderful that you cannot imagine how wonderful it is. It's beyond our comprehension, how good it is. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about your Savior. Heaven is that good, but I'm talking about the Savior who wanted you so bad that he, and the Bible says, he is of purer substance than to behold sin. He can't even stand to look at it, and yet he loaded himself up with your sin and mine. That's how much he loved you. And he took it upon himself, and he endured the punishment of it for you, all because he wants you to go to heaven and live with him forever. You say, "Man, I've got secrets that nobody knows about." Well, that's the nice thing about a Savior who's infinite. He can pay for every sin, and he did pay for every sin, including all of yours. So lay that burden down. He's already borne it. Just give it to him. Lay it down and look up, because he's coming for you. Would you please bow your head with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, make us watchful and heedful in awaiting the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus, so that when he shall stand at the door and knock, he may not find us sleeping in carelessness and sin, but awake and rejoicing in his appearance. Through him, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.